If you'll take your Bibles now and turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. Lesson begins here in verse 21. Going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, John his brother, in the ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. This is exactly where God finds us going about our business in this world, in the daily tasks of our life. And he finds us, finds his own, and calls them. And not too long ago, I was talking to somebody about the effectual call of Christ, and I said, when he called them, they went. There's no indication in here of any resistance whatsoever. They were over there mending nets, going about their business, going about the daily tasks of life. And when God called them, he calls effectually when he calls. He called, they dropped their nets. They dropped their living. They left their father with the nets, with holes in them. They left their father and the nets and their business, and they left everything, and they followed him. They followed him. It says here in verse 22, they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Now, the lesson this morning is all Christ. It's all Christ. It's all there is. All there is. And I believe those who truly know him know that this is so no matter what you're studying. It's all Christ. That's where it's headed. That's what it was written for. And those who truly know him know that. They know that. It says in the Bible, of God is he made unto us wisdom. If we're ever going to have any wisdom, we're going to have to know him. He is our wisdom. He's made that of God. Of God is he made unto us. That's what Paul said, wisdom. Wisdom. Now, he's not made wisdom to everybody. No, they need and want and desire other things. But unto us, he's made wisdom. That's where we find wisdom. I don't find wisdom in the old archaeological finds of, you know, they find this and they find that and they establish this and establish that. Well, God declared that to us way back when he made the thing, what it was. And I have no reason to doubt that he made it. I don't need to find some ancient artifacts to believe that there was an Ark of the Covenant. Do you? No, I have the Word of God. I know that there was an Ark. And he's made unto us wisdom. That's where we find our wisdom. He's made unto us righteousness and sanctification. And redemption, that pretty much spans the whole gamut there of salvation, though. And we found it all in Christ. He himself said this, I am the true vine. I'm the true vine. I'm the reason God had a garden. I'm the vine. I'm the vine. Everything God's going to grow in his garden going to be connected with this vine. I am the vine, he said. I am the resurrection. I am the way, the truth, the life. He said, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the bread that cometh down from heaven, the water that shall be in you, springing up into everlasting life. I am these things. It's all Christ. It's all Christ. And this morning, I want us to consider him as he set forth here by Matthew as the teacher and the preacher and the healer. That's what it says here. He went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness. As the teacher, Jesus Christ alone wears the eternal name of God as the Word. If there's going to be a Word from God, it's going to be of Christ. If you're going to hear anything from God, you're going to hear it in Christ. You're not going to hear it in these things in the abstract. Don't ever try to separate the doctrines of Christ from Christ. Don't ever try to separate the ordinances of Christ from Christ. It's Christ. In Him is life. It's not in that ordinance. It's in Him. It's not in them doctrines. Well, I came to the knowledge of the doctrines of grace. Well, there's no salvation there. Salvation is coming to Christ. You come to Christ and then you come to the doctrines. That's how you're going to understand the doctrine. And His name alone implies communication. We're talking about a name, an eternal name, the Word. The Word. This was God's eternal purpose. His name alone implies communication. And it is the eternal will and purpose of God to communicate Himself in the glory of His name through His Son. None other name given among men. And now He said, whereby we must be saved. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. He teaches us through creation, don't He? Huh? Sure He does. He teaches. He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. He teaches us something of His sovereignty in creation. He teaches us something of His power in creation. He teaches us something about His purpose and will to save sinners by creating this world and putting man in it who would fall and then be redeemed. He's the teacher as He is the eternal Word. And all creation teaches and declares to unregenerate man His eternal power and Godhead, so that Paul said they're without excuse. There's an order. We were talking about this the other day. There's an order. And there's a signature of God's deity in the order and in the preservation and in the daily function of this universe. There's no way this thing evolved from chaos. No way. This thing was created of God. There's too much order to it. There's too many things that depend on this thing and that thing and the next thing. And if one thing gets, we've already learned that, one thing gets a little glitch, and man, it's like a stack of dominoes. The whole thing comes down. He's the teacher. He teaches us in creation. And He's the teacher. He's the subject of all the Old Testament types and prophecies. You'll never have any understanding of the Old Testament. You know, most people don't even read Old Testament scriptures because it don't make sense to them. They may read a story like Samson and Delilah and make a love story out of it and so on. Or they might come over here and talk about the splitting of the sea because it was such a miracle. Or different stories. They'll pick stories out of there. They'll pick, sometimes they'll pick a moral teaching out of there and they'll come and try to make some application to that and use that as a springboard. But He's the subject of the Old Testament. He's in everything. He's in the tent peg. Huh? He said, I'll fashion Him as a nail, as a peg in a sure place, and upon Him will I hang all the glory of my Father's house. All the glory of that tabernacle held there by that little peg in the ground. That's a picture of Christ. And you can go on and on and on with all of those things. He's in all of these things. He teaches us through all of these things. And then Christ, He's the lesson as well as the teacher. He's both. You know, it might sound like a paradox, but Christ preached Christ. That's right. What did He preach, Russell? Come unto me. Ain't that what He said? Come unto me. I'm the vine. I'm the water. I'm the bread. Come unto me. Put my yoke upon you. Huh? Put my yoke upon you and learn of me and find rest for your soul. Christ is the teacher, and He's the teacher as He is the revealer of God in His person and work. Everything we're ever going to know about God, we're going to learn in Christ. Everything. God is spirit. God is beyond your wildest imagination. That's why He forbids us to make images, John, because He's so far beyond any image that no image can represent Him. And yet, in the end of time, miracle of miracles, the incarnate Son of God was sent into this world and bore the express image of His person. We want to learn something about God, there it is. There it is, in that man. What do we know about pardon? Huh? What do we know about pardon? Pardon comes through Him. He pardoneth all our iniquities. Huh? Pardon comes through Him. Forgiveness of sins. In Him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Righteousness. What do we know about righteousness? I know in Him is righteousness demonstrated. I know in Him righteousness is established. And then I know in Him righteousness is manifested, it's accomplished. I know that through Him righteousness is imputed. And then what do I know about justice? Huh? One fellow said, all I want is what I got coming to me. Oh, you don't want that. Justice. What do we know about justice? Justice without flaw. Exacting justice. Justice that He says that will by no means clear the guilty. Justice that will not overlook sin, will not wink at it or in any way forgive it, apart from justice being satisfied to its full and perfect extent. Justice. And holiness. What do you and I know about holiness? My whole young life growing up in church, I thought holiness was something we could do. I thought it was something you could do by coming to church or by giving your sacrifices and your offering or by the way you dress, by the way you talk. I thought all of that had something to do with holiness. Holiness has to do with the whole character of God. That's what holiness is. It's that whole character of God maintained in perfect harmony in all of its perfection. That's holiness. Holiness. And love. What do we know about love? Very little. Very little. He said, love, not that you love God, but that He loved you. You want to learn something about love? That's how you're going to learn it, in Christ. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We know nothing of any of these things outside of Christ. He Himself, by His glorious incarnation and work, teaches us of the true character of God. Would I learn anything at all about godliness? I'm going to learn it in Him. I'm going to learn it in Him. And then secondly, He says that Christ is the preacher. He preached, it said. You remember last week I mentioned to you, I think it's over there in the book of Luke, where He picked up the book and He had him turn to a certain page and he read it. It said there that He was anointed to preach the gospel and so on. He said, this day is this fulfilled in your ears. Christ was a preacher. A preacher. To preach means to declare, means to herald something, to proclaim the good news. And Christ is the preacher. His very presence in this world just declares volumes. Over in Hebrews it said, in the volume of the book it's written of me. When He came into the world, He saith. I didn't mean that little baby over at Bethlehem's manger said anything. It's just by His presence in this world, He saith. Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. Paul said, God, who spoke to our fathers through the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And in the original, it reads more like this, he spoke to us in Son. In Son, in Son language. And there is no good news apart from Christ. Everything this book has to say to call dead sinners out of darkness into light, and to establish and ground them in the truth, to comfort and console them in trouble, and to speak to all their problems, whatever those problems might be, and then to motivate them and encourage them and instruct them in godliness, all of those things is all intertwined with Christ. And anybody who preaches these things in the abstract is leading you to self-righteousness. We see these things in Christ, and as we see them in Christ, we understand them. We understand them. And the motive also is established. All true faith is in Christ. It feeds on Christ. It's founded on Christ. It desires to be made like Christ, and it desires to be with Christ. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. He summed up his whole life in one word. For me to live is Christ. Now, you see, that's my life. That's my life. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus, he said, so walk ye in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. Why did he insist on that? Why is that so important? Why is that so important? Why must we make such a thing out of that? Well, he goes on to tell us. He said, because in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we're complete in him. Now, if in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we're complete in him, what are we outside of him? Huh? Empty. Empty. There's nothing of God or godliness anywhere else. He said, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Here's godliness right here. Now, we want to look over here to a law that those who received that law and walked under that law didn't even hear the law, couldn't even begin to understand what this law declared. They never saw the holiness of God in that law, never did. Over here's the law fulfilled and honored and exalted. So we look to him. I don't look over here at this old dead letters. I don't understand anything by that. I'm left to my own flesh. But I see godliness in him who obeyed the law and honored the law. Now I can see the law. Now I can see it in its holiness and it's exalted in him. It's beauty in him. It's fulfilled in him. I see that law. There's nothing of God or godliness anywhere else. And it's impossible, I hope you hear me, it's impossible to teach godliness apart from Christ. It's impossible. So Christ preached Christ. That's what he preached. And those who heard him, they preached Christ. And those who read them and understand them, they preach Christ. Because there's nothing else to preach. He said, I am come to do my Father's will. I am come to save. I am the good shepherd, the vine, the bread, and the water. And I challenge you, go through the Scriptures. See if you can find anything in here taught outside of Christ. You can't find it. It ain't there. It ain't there. Godliness preached and taught in the abstract will just lead you to self-righteousness. And where is any comfort in all these future prophecies? Men, they come out by multitudes. They come out to hear these men talk about future events and prophecies and all those things. Where's the comfort in that apart from Christ? Huh? When we're talking about these future events set forth in the Word of God, we're talking about death. We're talking about judgment. We're talking about the end of the world. Can you look into those things and find comfort apart from Christ? My soul, no. No. Only one thing that can comfort your heart on these issues, and that is a personal experience and union with Christ. Now, I'm a preacher, but not in the same sense that he is. He is the very declaration of God. We are, Paul said, ambassadors for Christ, ambassadors of Christ. And we beseech you in his stead, be ye reconciled to God. But you take Christ out of the gospel, there's nothing left to preach. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Lots of people believe that Christ is the basic, fundamental beginning of salvation because they view salvation as an isolated act. They're coming along and they're looking for that one event, that one experience, that one thing that's going to, pow, it's going to hit you and say, that's it. And they're going to start looking back to that day. All the rest of their life, they're going to look back to that day. That's not salvation. Salvation is seeing Christ and following Christ and walking with Christ. That's salvation. And lots of folks believe that Christ is the basic fundamental beginning of salvation from which this so-called saved man now goes on to other things. They always say the same thing. We get it. After they've heard it about 20 times, we get it. Now let's go on. No, there ain't no going on. You don't get it. When you get it, you won't want to go on. Will you go too? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We ain't going nowhere. I remember I came into church and this young preacher was filling in for Don and he told me, he said, you look familiar. He said, like somebody I've seen around. I said, well, I've been around. That's these disciples. They've been around. But when he called them, they won't go anywhere else. They'd already been around. They won't follow him. To preach Christ is to preach the whole counsel of God. Now look at this here in Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, that is based on the whole of chapter 11 and all those examples that he set forth in it of faith. All these men, hundreds of them, literally hundreds and probably thousands that he set forth here. He named a lot of them just in general groups. Seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now listen, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Oh, I thought he was just the author. Oh, no. He's the finisher of it, too. And this whole race, like the prize at the end, you fasten your eyes on Christ, and that's what you run to. You don't run this way and that way. You run right at him. Run right at him. Christ himself is the teacher, and Christ himself is the preacher. His prophecies preach, his appearance preaches, his life preaches, his death preaches, his resurrection preaches, his intercession preaches, everything about him preaches. Everything about him preaches. He is the preacher. And then thirdly, Christ is the healer. He's the healer. This world is like a city besieged with a plague. This whole world, it's like a city besieged with a plague. And all that's in it are dead and dying. Isaiah said, covered from head to foot with wounds and bruises and putrefying souls. It's like a leper colony, banished from the camp, shut out of communion, shut out of the fellowship of the children of God, barred from worship, dead while they live, rotting from the inside out. It's like a leper colony. All their beauty is gone. All ability to serve is gone. Unclean, infectious. Can't get around them, they infect you. Lot was infected with that behavior of those men down in Sodom. He was infected with it. And stinking with the smell of death. And this world is filled with blindness. He said, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to the lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. And it's like those porches around the pool of Bethesda, filled with those who can do nothing for themselves. They laid there and waited for the angel of God. You know what angel is? That's a minister. They laid there on that porch and waited for the minister of God to stir the waters. Because there ain't going to be no healing until the angel of God's covenant stirs the waters. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Oh, and for the grace of God to put them in the pool. That's what has to take place. This world is like the land of the Gadarenes, filled with demon-possessed men and women, full of unclean spirits, and all of its inhabitants living in tombs and doing ungodly and irrational things. This world is like the cave in which Lazarus was laid, his sickness being more than he could bear. Now listen to the Master. The whole need not a physician. Ain't that what he said? They don't need a physician. But they that are sick. Now he said, you go learn what that means. You go learn what that means. Where does a man learn this? He learns this when God reveals his true state and condition to him. When he manifests his disease to him, his death to him, his uncleanness to him. When he manifests his disease and his paralysis and his blindness and his demon possession and his leprosy and his spiritual death. Naaman was a great man. Scripture said he was. He was a man of power and influence, a man of title. He was a general. He was a man of holdings and wealth and influence. He was a leader, a man of great accomplishments. But in the end, having said all these things about Naaman, it said, but he was a leper. He was a leper. And none of those other things amounted to anything, did they? He was a leper. It was his leprosy that brought him to the healer. God manifested that leprosy to him. He knew that he was a leper, and he knew he had to go to... And he didn't like the man, and he didn't like what the man said. But his servant said, now, if he'd asked you to do something great, if he'd asked you to do a triple off the diving board, you'd have done it. You'd have broke your neck trying it. He said, all he told you was go down and dip in the river. He said, maybe y'all just listen. Maybe that's what we ought to do. Just listen. Just listen. He was a leprosy, but his leprosy is what brought him to the healer. It was the blindness that caused Bartimaeus to cry out, wasn't it? He wouldn't have cried out if he hadn't been blind. He'd been fishing. Sure he would. He'd been down there trying to make his fortune. He wouldn't have been out there crying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. It was the demon possession that brought Legion to the Lord. No man could tame him. They couldn't chain him up. He broke the chains. They couldn't bind him. He said the whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And I tell you this, if you can walk out here this morning as though you had 1,000 options, you don't need the physician. That's right. You don't need the physician. The whole need not the physician. That's what he told those Pharisees. It was the Pharisees that questioned him, wasn't it? Nobody else did. These sick folk came to him and was healed. Every last one of them was healed. They came to him, bowed at his feet, recognized him for who he was, gave him the fame of his name, gave him the glory of his name, and he healed them. And they went their way rejoicing. But not the Pharisees. The Pharisees said, now, you don't quite come up to our level. You don't quite meet up with our expectations. He said, the whole don't need a physician, the sick.
Now you go learn what that means. You go learn what that means. And to me, this is the great end of all preaching and teaching. Look here in Matthew 4, verse 24. And his fame is what? Well, what did he do? He taught, he preached, and he healed. That's what he did. And his fame went throughout all Syria. Boy, it looks to me like that's the last place a preacher could have any fame in Syria. But God manifested his there. His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people. They didn't bring any well folks down there. They brought the sick. That were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed of devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Huh? He healed them. This is the great end of all preaching and teaching, that all those whose sins and spiritual diseases are made manifest will be brought to the feet of Christ. And those that are brought there with that sin revealed and call on his name, he will heal.